Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
This is Jim Hitch from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
And it's another interesting week. 3 weeks after, three, maybe four. It's really hard to tell. It's hard to keep track of when people don't tell us the right dates. The end of the core update and perhaps the beginning of the end of organic listings, at least if people's click behavior is to be perceived. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, Google held the Google I.O. conference in Mountain View, California, at which we were introduced to the future of AI everything. And it really, really, really reminded me of the mobile everything commitment that was made a couple of years ago when Google had all of us webmasters look at websites as mobile everything. I have a feeling Google is looking at the world through an AI generative lens and will be using that AI generative lens to create a lifestyle portal. This is a long run thought. It's pure speculation based on a whole bunch of stuff Google said and tools that they've given us to use. More importantly, last week in New York City, Google held its Marketing Live conference, which was sort of like the paid ad PPC banner display advertising side of the business, and talked about how through generative AI, the absurd amount of knowledge Google has on every one of its users, and its incredibly robust paid advertising system, how Google was basically going to use AI Overview to push paid advertising, create quote-unquote new business opportunities, and basically relegate organic advertising to, I don't know, somewhere equivalent to page two or even worse, the morgue. I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not. Let's remember, this is a Google initiative, and Google spent billions of dollars on stuff that they buried several months later. But we're here now. Luckily, we have in the studio somebody who pays incredibly close attention to what goes on, Search Engine Journal's writer, I'm actually sure, Roger Monty. And now, Roger, I'm not sure if you actually have a title over at Search Engine Journal, head writer, head editor, chief writer.
I think it's just writer, staff writer.
Staff writer, but I was actually trying to describe who you were to my partner Shauna the other day, and I was saying of all the writers out there, you're probably one of the most plugged in, but least connected to any of the major players. You're not connected to Bing. You're not connected to Google in any way. You're not connected to any of the major conferences. Search Engine Journal is actually a fairly independent publication. And that and the level of research that goes into your work, just as, again, led me to describe you as one of the, probably the least biased of the major reporters out there. The story you published yesterday in Search Engine Journal was close to terrifying. Headline, Google to prioritize AI overviews, ads over organic search, again, published on May 22nd, 2024 at Search Engine Journal. And Roger, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say my gut sank, and I felt you were almost writing the pre-obituary of organic organic placements. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't think it's so that far, but it I think what it does is it puts search into a different perspective. And you know, a lot of people have been saying, oh, Google search, they're biased, Google search, it's all, they're doing it for clicks, and Google search is like dumbing itself down so that more people click on ads. And a lot of time, you know, those kind of remarks are just self-serving excuses for why the person's expressing those opinions don't rank well. And I used to live close to Google, and I used to get invited there by Matt Cutts every once in a while, and I would visit, and I had many visits with Google, and I met the search engineers, and I met the team there at the spam fighting, and they're, you know, very sincere people, and they're really committed to doing what they do. And so what I'm seeing here, plus, you know, everything that came out with that Department of Justice antitrust case, where the emails came out showing how much influence the PPC side was having into making the overall decisions about what happens in the search results. And this paints a different picture, not of the people who work in search at Google. I think they are siloed, and they're doing their thing and doing their best to bring the good search results and to do right by web publishers and the web ecosystem. I believe that they are genuinely concerned about the web ecosystem, particularly Danny Sullivan, who's really, out of all the insiders at Google, he's actually an outsider, because he's been on our side of the Google search box for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think, I believe, knowing, you know, what I know, that they're genuinely on our side in terms of, like, encouraging good content and surfacing websites. But then there's the management layer, and these people seem to be deciding or even perceiving search as like bait, a reason for users to come to Google to search, but then they switch it and then they get ads, you know. And what's going on now, I published an article today, is that they got a new search ad that looks exactly like an app. And I've got screenshots where, you know, it's got like little labels saying generative AI is experimental, you know, upload your photos to this app, you know, and people kind of lose awareness that they're interacting with an advertisement, because they start out with these new search ads, they start out clicking an ad where it says sponsored, but then it turns into an interactive app. And it doesn't say really that this is a sponsored advertisement you're interacting with. All the signals that this gives you is that this is an app, a generative AI app that's helping you, you know, with something. And then when you finish, go through uploading your video, and the AI helps you, you land on the sponsor where you can make your purchase. And really, the image I got from this is like the search engineers, the search department are like a chef, and they're making a really nice dish. You know, they're putting quality ingredients, they're using, you know, the organic and they're using all their skill to create sauces, and then here's this nice plate. They hand it off to the people, the front side of the thing, of the restaurant, and then they take it and deep fry it, batter it, deep fry it, and then, you know, the customer gets this.
Studies show that people like deep fried food.
But maybe not
Yeah, they
douchebag
do.
SERP.
Yeah. And it's not really what the search engineers created when you've got advertising that's mimicking an app. And I'm not saying they're tricking users, because technically a user has to click a little a thing that looks like a search result but says is labeled sponsored. And then when they click, they're then like put into this app AI assistant mode where a certain amount of trust and familiarity is built there, and it doesn't feel like an advertisement. So I
I mean,
think that
this is Google
it
breaking its own
lowers,
vibe.
yeah, it increases confidence and makes people puts people at ease being in like an app environment. Like you press this sponsored ad, and then it takes you to an app, and then now you're like, oh, figuring out what I need, and da da da. And I got the screenshots on it. It's what's the name of the article?
So
I
Roger,
just renamed it. Retitled it, but it's new Google search ads resemble AI assistant app.
as
oh
you were
wow.
speaking, I was reading it. I don't know if you could see my eyes in the video, but my eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I'm reading your article
Yeah.
while you're describing it. Christine,
Yeah. And
what do you think?
well, first I would like, if it's possible, I see a lot of people in the chats and stuff right now saying, the side that you're seeing and we're seeing, but others who are like, oh, it's just the same sponsored ads. So, Roger, can you explain to people how this is not just the same four ads that we're used to seeing on the page?
Yeah, it's not sponsored ads. I mean, it's not the same ads. Because I took screenshots, and you have to scroll down, and I go step by step to show that when somebody clicks on a, for example, it says find solutions from extra space storage, then you go into like an app configuration. It looks like generative AI. It says generative AI experimental, and upload five photos, and it's got find the best storage, let AI do the heavy lifting, and it's no longer an ad you're interacting. And that's by design, because what
Yeah.
they're doing, and they said so, that they're creating a different way to engage. The guy doesn't even use the word advertising for it anymore. He calls it an experience. Because this thing is just, and he calls it next level because it is next level. It's just completely, it's an advertisement that engages you like an app. And the only analog I can think of is an advertorial. An advertorial is an advertisement
That's what I was
that
thinking.
engages a reader as if it's an article. So you kind of lose your, skepticism that you would have with an advertisement when you're reading an article, something that looks like an unbiased article, right? So this is like an advertorial, but it's an app-vertorial, maybe.
Maybe. So
It's an app-vertorial.
remember when we're changing all our
So
H1s? And titles, I mean, our titles and descriptions, I thought they were training it for something. I think this is probably what they're
well, this new
training it
search
for.
ad. This new search ad, I put screenshots there. It says this app will only have access to the photos you select. That's in the screen part of the app where you're uploading your photos to the AI so it can help you. And maybe it's making reference to something that's built into Android or whatever, but it contributes and to the illusion that you're interacting with an app and not interacting with a
With an advertisement.
an advertisement.
This,
Yeah.
Okay, so do you
Exactly.
think, wait, oh, I have a question. I want one thing I want to ask real quick. So Roger, I know you've got something, but you're going to change directions. I just want
Go,
to throw this
please,
out real
please.
quick. So Roger, when I look at this, also given the changes on Google's ad side, where they're taking over like the complete ad buy, and they're doing they're really restricting what anyone can control anymore. What do you think? When they're in, the EU's already said they need to be broken up, the advertising area. And the U.S. has a DOJ case now, but they also have two more this summer. Doesn't this seem like kind of a ballsy move to like train on people's content, regurgitate it, put ads around it, and then trap people in an experience? Or am I just reading it wrong?
Well, if it was just that, then it'd be pretty much okay in the sense that, you know, they're linking, giving in-content links, and anybody who's done affiliate links knows that in the old days we didn't have to label that a link was an affiliate link. You just, you know, you do a product review, da da da. And then you link off, you add, you know, an in-context link to a product, and it converts like crazy, a lot more than a banner ad, right? And this was before AdSense even existed, and so that's essentially what Google's SGE, whatever the AI overviews is doing, is they're adding in-context links, and contextual links perform really well. And they're putting about three of them in general, more or less. I mean, this thing is shifting. But in a regular 10 links, organic links, you know, the mythical 10 links, the top three were the only ones that performed, maybe the top two, you know, and that's after the sponsored ads, you know, took us like what, 25, 30% of the search result of the search clicks. And so, you know, the fact that you got in-context links that are highly relevant to your site, and there's only like one, two, three of them, it's basically a wash. It's kind of like, maybe it's a little better actually. The Fabrice Cannell was talking about that these are, they call them qualified clicks because they're so more relevant than having a regular, you know, blue link. So, but
Listen.
if it was only that, then I kind of would be all right with it, you know? But they're like piling on these new
Yeah.
search experiences, I mean, advertising experiences, which not only do they push organic further down, but it pretty much just siphons off into this app experience on the other hand, because there's two things going on. There's the Google Lens shopping ads. But then there's this other thing going on, the search ads, where it mimics an app. And that's, you know, both of them kind of like point out that search is like, it's just bait. And the whole game plan, it seems, is to push as many people into interacting with this AI that's making recommendations that are paid for.
And
And
regurgitating other people's
that's,
content. So it's not even the content that they wrote in the first place.
you
Okay,
know, you go
so.
to, I mean, you go to any new, most web news websites, and they're just regurgitating, you know, what Reuters published or
But
something
Google
like
has an
that.
algorithm for that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not saying, it's just a different way to present information, and it's everything changes. And we've been in this industry a long time, and we've seen it go through so many changes. And this is just another one. But what
Feel, it
worries me
feels different.
more
This is
is the
I'm
primacy.
if you guys don't mind, I'm gonna jump in here. This is a slight different. This is a bigger
Yeah.
than most changes in
Yeah,
that
I agree. Yeah.
this almost feels like a complete change in Google's philosophy. They would never mix a
Yeah.
stream between organic and advertising in the past. There was a big, thick, 100-mile thick wall between the two. For good reason. They would never use the plethora of data they have on individuals to complete search results. They might try to use some of that data to figure intent before, but nothing like what they said Gemini is going to be doing, you know, running that secondary
Oh,
search in the background.
and they're going to be targeting ads to the output of Gemini, not
Right,
just the
they're
search
different onions.
query,
so
Yeah,
which
that's what
is
I mean. So they
this is
control
taking
the
the
ad,
golden
the
goose.
output. Yeah, that's why
They're taking the
going
golden
left.
goose, they're slaughtering
Well,
it, they're
that's right.
grabbing all the gold dust from its guts and
Yeah,
expecting it to
I
grow
mean,
gold tomorrow.
well,
It just
and that's why Gomes moved off, because they asked him, this was different, but they asked him to make search worse so they could make more revenue. And that's in the DOJ documents, right, from last year.
And it's not the search people. I think the search
Yeah.
people are bystanders, just like,
Fair,
SEOs and
yeah.
publishers are bystanders to all this.
Well,
It's the people higher up
that is something
I
I want
think are
to
making these
ask.
decisions about, this is what we're all about. I mean, that's what they're talking about.
That is something I want to reiterate. Earlier this week, both Danny Sullivan and John Mueller came out and said to the SEO community, look, we're actually talking to engineers when we're making these recommendations. We're not just making this stuff up. We're talking to people behind the scenes who are pulling the strings. And then Google I/O happens, and we find out that it's AI everything. And it almost doesn't matter that we're supposed to write from the heart, because it's going to end up as part of the clay that AI generative stuff is made out of. So I believe Danny. I've known Danny for 20 years or more than 20 years now. He's a good
Yeah,
guy.
me too. Yeah, me too.
He made this
Yeah,
industry.
and
He's not
it's
lying to
not
us. So
them.
it's not them.
I don't
So
think it's
look
them.
at
No,
this
it's not them
quote.
at all. No, it's not
Is it
them. It's not
McKinsey?
them.
Listen to this
It's
quote.
Sundar
This
and
is
Raghavan.
this quote really encompasses, kind of what I'm talking about how the people above and out of search are using search. And this person said, this Googler said, more creators creating more quality content attracts more viewers, which means more reach, engagement, and ROI for you. We're not just building a better search engine or a better YouTube. We're focused on opening up new opportunities for your business. It's like it's just creating a better search engine, better YouTube for the purpose of more reach, engagement, and ROI. And it's what they do with search and YouTube after the search engineers are done with it, which is kind of deep battering and deep frying it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one of the Googlers that just left, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, so I couldn't find the quote today. So this is just a paraphrase, but all he saw internally was this panic and rush to try to get something out the door. And so that's what they did. That's what he thought Sundar was doing. But this advertises, the reason I think it's ballsy to do what they're doing with the DOJ case, and the EU is really ready to break them up. Like, that's their decision already, is that they're control they took the Would they train the content? They produce the content, they put the ads around it, now they control everything. Hey, Roger, before you go, we know Roger has to go. You have just 1 minute. I just want to know what you were worried about. What worries you, if you have time?
What worries me?
Yeah, because you're about to say something and then we got off on a different path.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm just, putting this out there saying, hey, this is what it appears that people in Google but outside of search are doing with search. And it looks like we were socially engineered for the benefit of advertise for the advertising department, the whole EEAT, and the search department too, Hey, I gotta go.
Go ahead, go. By the way,
Thank you for
Roger came on.
joining
We
us,
always
Roger.
tell you to read if you
Yeah.
want to know about in-depth stuff with Google. So he's over at Search Engine Journal.
Yeah, Roger, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Roger.
Okay, so that was I wish we had another 15, 20 minutes with him, because there's this, I think there's much more he wanted to say, eh?
Well, we can always have him back. This isn't going to be the last time that we need to discuss what's going on at Google, and he's going to probably be writing about it.
If Google keeps on the path that they're on, it may well be one of the last times. I mean, I have an institutional memory, because we've been here since before Google was the biggest thing since sliced bread. And I remember when we talked about, like, Yahoo. As we talk about Google now. And it all ended so fast. And it ended because of Google's rise for Yahoo and all the other what became second tier search engines in Google's wake. But the speed that it happened, I to this day it blows me away. The period between, say, 2000 and 2022, or I'm sorry, 2000 and then 2002. In those 2 years, 24 months, all the other search engines fell by the wayside, and suddenly Google was everything.
But you know,
can happen in reverse.
It can definitely happen in reverse because, first of all, they are facing massive regulatory pressure. They actually offered DOJ. I don't know the amount. I don't know if it's been published, but like many, many dollars to not finish the case because it requires discovery that they don't want discovered. The DOJ has not said if they're going to take it. But if you're in that position, and the EU, we covered it last, I think last summer or something, has already said that they need to break up. Like they haven't figured out how they're going to do it, but they need to break up. So, and today in the United States, they just told Live Nation and Ticketmaster, they will be broken up. Right, so it does happen. It's not that it never happens. It's rare, but how do you train on everyone's content, regurgitate it as your own, then put ads into it and create an interactive experience that could lead you to more of that regenerated content? Then on the ad side, as we know from people that work on ads, we don't work on ads, but they have taken so much control away from them that sometimes the ad that used to cost like $5 is costing $20, right? Because the AI is supposed to improve it, but the AI doesn't actually. And they also get a lot of negatives that it shouldn't show for and things like that. So now they control the entire ad process, mm-hmm. the entire content process with the monopoly that they control. So you're up for like breakup in the EU. That's like already on the board. And the United States, they have two more cases this summer. And you just made it so it's so obvious it's monopolistic control, right?
Indeed.
So, I don't understand what they're thinking. I just don't understand.
Well, first, I get the feeling that there's a too big to fail opportunistic mentality happening here. We're too big to break up. We're too complicated to break up. They're not going to mess with us. This isn't the phone company after all. This is infinitely more complicated than that. So they're not going to mess with us. Number one, I think that hubris absolutely exists.
Sure.
Number two, I dare say after talking with Roger, reading a number of articles this week and seriously pondering on, you know, the careers of people like Danny Sullivan, John Mueller, or Gary Ease, people who've been working at Google or around the search world for a long time and talking to us, no pun intended, literally straight from the heart. And I don't think they've been lying to us. I think they've been talking,
so they
saying
haven't.
What they thought was correct. And
Danny,
so the people
John,
are making this decision.
You're listening. We think you're telling us the truth. You are not the ones that are responsible here.
The people who are making these decisions, I don't think they fully understand the landscape in which they're making their decisions. To steal a phrase from our own show, they don't understand the ecosystem they're working in. They just understand the money, which admittedly is a part of the ecosystem people like us don't understand as well as people say, I don't know, from McKinsey might, because I don't work in billions. I just don't.
Well, the thing also that's very odd about everything that's going on, and I will draw no conclusions. You and I have talked about theories, but we don't know anything, so I'm not going to say anything. But they fired 200 core engineers that built Google,
yep.
right? Who does that? The institutional
somebody,
knowledge that you lose, right? Like
someone who doesn't need it anymore. That's who. I mean, that's it. They say they don't think they need it. They will, but they don't think they do.
But it's such short-term thinking for a multi-trillion-dollar company. Like you and I have worked with Google since Google pretty much, you since it was founded, me a few years after it was founded. And we've never seen Google act this carelessly, this recklessly. Apparently, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, the answers that the AI answers even are giving are not just wrong, but harmfully wrong.
Hilariously
wrong. Like one of them, maybe we should just go into that real quick. Like one of them is take a bath with a toaster if you want to feel relaxed. Well, dead, I guess, is relaxed. I don't know. like
you'll never be stressed again.
Never be stressed again. And then there was what was one of, a couple of the others that
the one that I liked the most. And At the risk of pissing off the great auditor Alan Blaywythe, and Alan, I have so much respect for you, brother. Like I really, really do. But the truth is, up in Canada, we like pineapple on our pizzas because it makes us think of sunnier days, which we don't really have a lot of. It's awfully cold up here in the winter, so we have pineapple on our pizzas. And now a lot of people don't know this because most Americans don't do pineapple on their pizza. But the way we keep the pineapple on is through stick pins, little straight pins. We just stick the pineapple on the pizza and it stays there. But Google overview, AI overview has solved this for us. Apparently, you can use non-toxic glue to make the cheese stick to pizza. And so if you can use it on oh yeah, they said non-toxic. They were clear about that. An eighth of a cup of non-toxic glue to make the cheese stick to your pizza. Now, if it works for cheese, ergo, it works for pineapple. No more stick pins. No more having to pull pins out of our mouths as we're eating. I mean, life is better. Thank you, Google.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now, sure. So that's BS. Yeah. Almost as much BS as the generative answer itself was.
Yes. Oh, and if you're flashing light, you know, you use or your like blinker isn't working, you should put blinker fluid in it. There's no such thing as blinker fluid, people.
Oh my God, that's an old joke. No, that's an old joke that people play in garages, play on the new guy. They get them to go looking for the blinker fluid.
The cheese one was an 11-year-old Redditor that wrote that, right? And so they decided to put all this Reddit in there, right? And so these are vastly wrong, but some of them are dangerously wrong. Like you have kidney stones, drink 2 quarts of your own urine. If you're someone who doesn't know anything about medical stuff and you have kidney stones, you've heard of people drinking urine, right? So maybe.
Told to drink your own urine? You drink Sidney Crawford's urine. Everybody knows that.
Everybody's urine's gross. but it's kind of like, I always thought it was a little, I'm just going to use the word insane because it was a little insane to me, that the main place that these show up are on your money or your life informational queries. Except for finance. They won't show up much on finance, but and then probably because there's a lot of regulations there and they're probably worried about tripping a lawsuit. But what if somebody drank 2 quarts of urine and died? Like, what if somebody took a bath with a toaster?
They will die.
We have these warnings on our electronic device, our electronic stuff, right? Our hair dryers and stuff. Because somebody did that. Somebody dried their hair in the bathtub and died, right? We don't have these warnings on things because they just put stupid warnings. They put them because somebody did that and they don't want a lawsuit the next time.
Well, for instance, Christine, as you know full well, Google doesn't even know the answer it's generating with AI overview because it's LLM stuff. And, you know,
so it's a text generator.
We can't have a warning label on every wrong thing that AI overview comes up with. I think the safe thing to do is just have a warning label on AI overview in general. Warning,
or just don't use it.
Warning, this stuff might kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it doesn't kill you, it may just kill Google because, and this is what I'm mad about. And up until 2 weeks ago, I was really interested in what Google was going to do with AI, and in many ways, I'm still really interested in some of the generative tools
they've
introduced.
I knew you were, yeah. We had a bunch of discussions.
But now I'm pissed off and insulted. Because I've been doing this for 25 years or so, partially because it's a great job and it's afforded me a wonderful lifestyle, but partially because I believe in the importance of an information ecosystem. And I actually took this part seriously. I thought that we in SEO were contributing to a better ecosystem. Understanding how search works and making information credible and clarified as much as possible for the public was very, very important to me. And helping people, small businesses, medium businesses, hell, even helping big corporations do better was something I really took pride in. And I took pride in doing it the right way. In doing the things Google said and in believing in the web that I thought that Google was trying to create. I really believed in it. No, I'm not a fanboy. I'm not a Google fanboy. And I didn't believe 100%.
We all believed in it. Yeah.
I dug it. I got what they were doing.
Yeah.
Now I'm offended. Now I'm really angry. I was used, like Roger said, we were socially engineered to do X, Y, and Z and create this outcome. And it's not the outcome that I want to see, because I know that you should not be drinking 2 quarts of urine to get rid of kidney stones. I understand that non-toxic glue on pizza will just make it taste bad and not do anything for you at all. And that bathing with a toaster will kill you. And this is stuff that Google is telling people to do in answer to a question they're asking. And I helped, and you helped, and Webcology helped contribute to this. And I'm really mad about that.
Well, I mean, not willingly contributed to this. We didn't.
No, but we did. That's the outcome. Socially engineered to doing something dumb or doing something that wasn't beneficial to the world that we're trying to create.
Well, let's put this, I see it differently. We did what we were supposed to do for the websites that we work for so that they keep making the money and people keep their jobs. That's how I saw us. We stand between people being employed and unemployed. Because so many people rely on this organic search. So what makes me angry about all this? I don't feel angry we were duped because we were doing our job. And until very recently, that job was doing what it was supposed to be until these changes came out. But I have a very big issue with the fact that they went around the internet, and this is every LLM, but this we're talking about Google right now, went around the internet and they trained on everybody's content with no knowledge, no permission, no compensation. And then they decided to make a product that regurgitates that content. So now they're going to put ads in that product and push the regular results all the way down. And there's a New York Times article today, or what we're talking about today. I don't know if it was published today. It was published this week. Can Google give AI answers without breaking the web? Like, I don't see how this is sustainable. We have people, smaller businesses, that will go out of business when they don't get clicks. Literally, you and I both know from algorithm devaluations, it doesn't take much, 20-30%, and a business is on the ropes, right, of organic search if it's a big part of their portfolio of traffic. But they did this, and then on the ad side, we hear from our people, they're controlling the whole ad process, right? Like, they're literally seeing 100, 200, 300% difference, 500% difference in the revenue they're being charged for the same clicks, because they know these clicks. They've been working with these clicks for years, right? Decades, even. So Google has created an ecosystem on the back of everybody on the web that just benefits them with their power. Because if they had done this and they were some small company, they would have been put out of business right away, right?
Well, so you know what? Had they done this and they were some small company, I'm telling you, the consumers would have put them out of business.
That's what I mean.
Straight on up. And
yeah,
the consumers, how to say this, consumers aren't going to put Google out of business. But Google, you're about to be, like, honestly, you just sold, you sold yourself out. And that is going to show in your results sets, and that is going to show in how consumers react to them. It's going to happen. They will walk away from you.
Yes, we do know that there's like a trend in Google Trends about getting rid of this on the search, right? But there's multiple searches that are trending, not just the one, like, how do I get rid of this? And then we know that because of these bad answers I'm seeing in people on LinkedIn who are not in search, or on Facebook or Twitter who are not in search, they're really angry that it shows up all the time. And you can't close it once it's open, right? So they're not, it's not being received well, which is very different than being Copilot, because Copilot separated Copilot from the main search and put it in its products. Now, I don't like anymore that they trained on people's works without knowledge, permission, or compensation, but they separated it. So people like it.
Well, and they give you a bit more control. They let you turn it off. Like, they're getting a bit more control.
That's one of our things today. Yeah, they're going to let you turn off if you don't want it. But they did separate it. So it's not taking the click from the website. When it's in a product, you could say maybe, but they would have put Bing in there anyways as the search engine, and it wasn't there before, so they're not taking a click from a website, right? But Google's literally using people's content to take the traffic from them so they can make an ad engine of epic proportions. When you see, for people who haven't seen it yet, go to Marketing Live at Google and watch what they're doing with ads. I mean, it's basically like if an affiliate marketer puts out a site and puts 30 ads on the page, except they're doing it more creatively, so it's not as obvious like Roger talked about. But it's all about ads now. They don't care. They don't need your content anymore. So they're going to push the organic results way, way far down the page. And the truth is, it's going to be consumers who make the decision here, because there are ways to not get them to show. They have a new button called web that just gives you 10 blue links. Someone even developed a, where we got those funny stories about the bad answers. There's a Twitter account called Goog Enough.
Goog Enough, yeah.
Goog Enough. And it is GOOG_ENOUGH. Goog underscore enough. There's somebody that's posted a portal to, I don't know how well it works, so I'm not saying go use it, but there's a portal to where you can get the results without any AI involved. So we have Chrome extensions, a portal. We have all sorts of people telling people how to get rid of this. And I don't mean in search. I mean just regular folks. So I think that they've taken a very big and bad step, because it's too radical a change.
There is a group of people we could appeal to get rid of this. And if they really take action, I can guarantee you stuff will happen fairly quickly. And that's Google shareholders. Yes. Of which I'm one. There might be a minor one, mind you, but there's, you know, lots of us hold shares. My tiny block of vote says stop doing this, and my very tiny block. But given that actually shares are rising right now, I don't think that shareholders.
Oh, they went down this week.
Have they?
Yeah,
I haven't been paying that much attention.
Yeah. Not a ton, but you know, like $2 or something.
Anyway, if anyone's going to be forcing change at Google, it's going to be consumers moving away from using the product. Google is data obsessive. Now, here's the problem, though. It might take them a little while to get the message. Right now, they're in the, we're being very disruptive. Change is like a roller coaster, and you have to go down before you can go up sort of phase. I don't know if, there are so many negatives that are really easy to predict from this. If you keep using generative AI, even if you are consulting the web, you're going to run out of fresh, good, citable content eventually. No new content means lots of old content and a lot less accuracy. All these things will eventually come to bear, and if they don't, then they're using a different model of AI than we understand they're using. The only thing that's going to stop Google is users themselves, and it's going to take them a while to get that message.
Or DOJ, because I do think it was kind of a ballsy move when two countries want to, well, EU is many countries, but the EU group want to bust you up. And you're already in court for it. And one country's group already said that they are going to do something about reducing your power. So, and then when you're offering the DOJ money to not continue the case,
before this rolled out,
I've never heard of a company offering money to DOJ.
No. I mean, that's insane. The DOJ could never take it, of course. No, that's insane. But it was almost predictable Google would, like, because bribe. This is how Google gets out of every case. Google, and we've said this a million times, because it's happened a million times, Google will never let a case against it go to full trial.
Yeah, but it looks like DOJ is not afraid of that. So,
well, okay, so Google's got more money than almost anybody in the world except the American government.
But that only helps if the lobbyists can get the laws changed, and they're already in court for the laws that they broke, so...
What I'm trying to say is, if you're trying to buy off a litigant, the U.S. government is probably not one you can buy off.
Exactly. I can't believe they offered them money. Like, hey, guys, you know, you want to go out for some pizza and beer and we'll give you $1 trillion?
Hail Mary pass. That was a hail. Honest to goodness, Hail Mary pass. That has to be what that was.
Found out. Because now we know, like, from the DOJ documents, that Sundar and Raghavan wanted to make search worse to make more revenue, and Gomes was pushed out of his position. He'd been in it since 1999. He built search and he protected search.
What we're going to learn with full discovery is Google's algorithm. that's what they're afraid of. They have to reveal how they have to reveal how they rank sites. No. They have to, or we can't evaluate how they rank sites.
It wouldn't be public information, though.
Well, yeah, but
we have laws here that it would protect it. So
even if they have to outline or explain a little bit of it, it's out of the inner circle. It's out there now. They're terrified of this.
I think they're more afraid that we'll find out that they actually did make search worse and they did things that they could only do because of their monopoly.
Possibly. Although the cat's out of the bag on that one. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why fight a losing battle on that. It's already done. We know this. So Google, okay. Google's having a bad week, bad couple of weeks, and it looks like Google's in for a bad month. Does that mean that we're in for a bad month on Google? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know yet. AI overview is still rolling out around the world. I'm getting my version in just a couple of weeks. Y'all probably got your versions. Is this as much as Americans are going to see, or is Google going to have overview answers for a greater number of queries in the future? What are they saying now, Christine? This is like 30 some odd percent now?
Oh, no. Today I only saw Bartos from OneLee has been working with ZipTie.dev. And they put out some numbers today. I think it's like around 19 or 20%. Okay, and you know, they're probably going to keep rolling it out. They're testing now to see what they're
rolling and refining, rolling and refining. Yeah. You know what? There's a small chance, and I'm really hoping this is the best possible outcome, is they start taking user engagement. I'm not sure. Let the users decide if they want this or don't want this. If Google's going to continue to create organic search results, and they say that they will, continue creating them. Just let the users see them instead of, you know, let them turn off the AI overview. If Google does that, they'll probably be fine. But if Google doesn't give the user power in this situation, I imagine the users are going to walk away and go to another engine that actually works for them when it works. Did you hear there was a Bing outage this morning?
Yeah, I did. By the way, I call it the MySpace of search. I think that's what's going to happen to Google.
Well, MySpace they may well
was
be.
Dominant, and then Facebook came around and like within, what, a year? 2 years? Boom.
Oh, and then ate his breakfast. Absolutely. And then, yeah. But hey, you know the difference is? Tom was smart enough to know when to sell out and walk away.
Yes. Did you know that's Tom was a massive hacker in his teens?
Yeah.
I saw a report about it yesterday. I did not know that.
No. Like, Tom was a real guy, and he was a dude.
But he was a hacker, and he did a massive hack. And they arrested 40 of them in one night. And he was too young to charge. So he just made an agreement. He wouldn't do it anymore. And then he became Tom from MySpace. Well, I forgot his name. It was like Flathead something. Well, so it's a very interesting story if you want to look it up. I did not know about that till yesterday. By the way, and we're talking about Google learning from users. Apparently, they don't seem to be doing that with Reddit, because we have Reddit snippets being made bigger and larger with the amount of upvote count they have and likes in the search results.
Well, that's what happens when you fire 250 crackerjack engineers, isn't it?
Right? Like, people are like, hey, guys, we really want to see Reddit in the search results. And I see everyone complaining about that outside of search, too.
Oh, it's easy, boss. We'll just measure by likes, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So apparently, I don't know if they're capable of learning, or maybe they have an agenda we are not familiar with, which is not about what we think it is or should be. So, but very, very weird.
Okay. Just to recap, reiterate, from where I'm sitting right now, Bing and the family of websites that includes DuckDuckGo, Yahoo, ChatGPT, etc., that use Bing are back up again. They were down earlier. I'm not sure. This is in Canada. I'm not sure in America.
It was down in America too. Yeah.
But it's back up again?
I haven't checked while we're on the call here, but
We're rounding time on the show. I'm afraid we're moving probably in our last 10 to 15 minutes. This one kind of ticked me off. Scarlett Johansson was approached, what, 8 or 9 months ago, to be the voice of OpenAI. She said no. I don't want to be the voice of OpenAI. Moviegoers might remember she was the voice of Her, an AI analog that was used in a 2013 movie of somebody falling in love with their AI companion. Sam Altman wanted to use her voice, thinking her voice would make people comfortable. She didn't want her voice being used, and as it turns out, well, they might have used her voice, they might not have. They might have just used a clone they made of her voice, but it sounded so much like her voice that it's, well, basically her voice. And she's suing them. They've since removed her voice, which I suppose counteracts the lawsuit, but just the idea that that would happen. It was like a Black
Well,
Mirror
there,
episode.
it's not just a lawsuit. There's actually a law in California that you can't make a facsimile of somebody's voice either. So he was actually violating a law because it's the real world, not online, and you can't just take people's stuff and regurgitate it. So there's actually a law that she could have invoked, and he would have been in a lot of trouble. So and she did say no, and then 2 days before they went live with the voice called Sky, they called her again and said, "Hey, would you like to?" And she said no again. So he's kind of covering his butt. But also shows a very big lack of ethics, in my opinion, because if someone said no, you don't then keep doing it and then make a version of it and then try to get their permission
I mean,
again.
seriously, eh? What did he
Yeah.
tell his buddies? Yeah, she said yes, and then in reality, she hadn't said anything. Like, seriously, why would you do that?
But this guy is running one of the largest chain, like, world-changing technologies, and he's
Why
so
would you?
dishonest.
Yeah.
He makes a voice of somebody, and then he uses it anyway after they said no twice.
So, okay. Anyway, yeah, makes me mad that people do stuff like that. Gary Yees came out and said straight up that Google does consider Lastmod in your XML sitemaps. Last week, Fabrice on our show said that WordPress's upgrade to 6.5 is a game changer because it automatically updates Lastmod on your XML sitemaps when you do the last modification on a page. Upgrade your WordPress sites to 6.5. You're going to gain Lastmod sitemap support, and Google and Bing both pay attention to that. It tells them when to go look at something that may have changed on your page. It's important to be crawled frequently. Lastmod will help you do it.
Also, something for Google to remember, they put out a PSA that site reputation abuse policy also applies to Google Discover. But this is the same with any devaluation. If you have a devaluation in organic search, it will transfer to Discover. It will also transfer to news if you are a news site. So you will see recovery first in those because they don't have the same ranking signals, but you will see a devaluation across the board.
Okay.
And then
TikTok. Oh, sorry.
yeah, go ahead. I was gonna say
Well,
TikTok. We really need to
TikTok's about
mention
to lay
TikTok
off a
today.
bunch of people, and I
Ten
don't think this has
thousand.
anything to do with it being f with ByteDance being told to sell its stake in TikTok. I think it has to do with TikTok deciding it needs to marshal its money a bit better. What's going on here?
I don't know because I don't really trust that it's not related, right? Because they're laying off their marketing and growth teams. Is a big part of it. So if you're trying to grow your company, why would you do that? And it's 1,000 people of 7,000 in the US, so it's a quite large number. And it's almost all US or Western. It's not like people in... So
The
yeah. So it's
announcements. I'm sorry.
go ahead, go ahead.
The announcements are coming down the pipe. I don't think that everybody at TikTok who's going to get laid off has been informed yet. So, yeah, it's being reported on CNN. It's not like this is breaking news or anything, but it's just awful to report something that people don't even know is about to happen to them.
Yeah, and it's global layoffs in operations and marketing, which I just think is an odd thing if you're trying to grow. So,
Okay,
although
so
TikTok, yeah, go ahead. I know
oh,
what you're going to
go on,
say.
go on, go on.
Now, as I say, TikTok, though, on the other side, because of the potential of being banned, is moving to limit Russian and Chinese media reach in this election year. So they are going to mark state affiliate accounts, just like Twitter used to. I don't know if Twitter does it anymore or not. But they will keep keep them out of users' feeds in the countries that other countries. They will mark them as state affiliated, and so we'll see. We'll see how well it works too, because they say one thing and they do a lot in practice when you use TikTok that they don't necessarily follow through with. But we'll see. That's a really good thing though, if that's the case, because it would limit nation-state involvement in TikTok viewers if they know that it's nation-state and they're only allowed to show on the user's feed if they're in that country.
So the last vestiges of what was Twitter.com are pretty much over. Twitter.com, you can still write Twitter.com, but you're going to be redirected to X.com.
He says that. But I'm looking at my Twitter page right now and it says Twitter.com.
And you're still going to Twitter.com. I checked that earlier too. Yeah. But you know, my scripture says
some areas it's Twitter, so I would love to see the migration process here.
Yeah.
You don't usually do two domains at one time with your content. So yeah, so they're supposed to move into X. The interesting thing is he asked on Twitter twice if people wanted X or Twitter, and 90% of the people responding hated X. So, you know, it's Musk, so he did it anyway. Because he wants to take that 24% that's left of the value and take it down to, like, I don't know, 5, 10? So.
No, Musk just wants to have his X corporation control everything.
Yes.
Honest to goodness, I think he gets this from Marvin the Martian from Looney Tunes, who always had an X somewhere near him. That was his signal, was the X. I don't get it, but the nearest inference I can draw is an analog to Marvin the Martian.
True.
I'm convinced of it. You can't convince me otherwise.
Probably true. No, it's probably true. I would say that's probably true, knowing who he is.
Okay, and so like the latest thing, I mean, earlier, Christine, you were talking about the EU having trouble with Google over its size, its monopolistic tendencies, and that's absolutely true. And they have a whole bunch of reckoning to do with the EU on that. But Microsoft has had a whole bunch of reckoning to do with the EU, and a lot of it's been around privacy issues over the years. And I don't know. I think they're setting themselves up for yet another angle, because this was Microsoft recall. This hurts my brain, my privacy loving brain, which, you know, I guess privacy is dead, and this kind of proves it. Okay, so Microsoft wants desktop and laptop users to get used to the idea that Windows is going to be taking a snapshot of everything that's on the screen every couple of seconds.
Yeah. So the AP report says Microsoft wants laptop users to get so comfortable with its artificial intelligent chatbot that it'll remember everything you're doing on your computer and help you to figure out what to do next. The Microsoft software giant on Monday revealed a new class of AI-imbued personal computers as it confronts heightened competition from big tech rivals, blah, blah, blah. So basically, it's called Windows Recall, an AI assistant that has a photographic memory of a person's virtual activity. It runs off the edge, but stores locally. Mind you, before we get into the Microsoft, what are you doing part, all the stuff it stores could be legally accessed. So that's just a big reason not to do it. Someone sues you over a contract, the employer wants to see, you're getting divorced, right? So it's kind of a weird legal position to put people in. But, oh, that's so creepy. Like, I have a Mac. If I would not buy one of these computers that had this on it, even if I could turn it off, because I don't trust Microsoft, because I know they would turn things back on all the time, and I know they legally shouldn't turn that back on, but we know from history that it could happen. But doesn't it creep you out?
This is phenomenal. There's so many different ways this bothers me. I don't know where the file is going. I don't know if this is being used by AI to help me recall stuff I might have done, or more importantly, figure out what I should do next on any given file. Then what's the AI doing with this information beyond helping me? Is it training on information? Is it training on client information? I often have files that are covered by non-disclosure agreements on screen. And that requires me to be hyper aware of who's looking at my screen. So when I'm having a Zoom meeting, for instance, I have to be really careful what tabs might be open in the background in case I'm giving information that's covered over an NDA, in case I'm giving away information that's covered by an NDA. I mean, that's how thorough NDAs can and should be. And
I mean,
Microsoft taking a picture of my client's information every few seconds while I'm working on it, that doesn't compute for me.
and it reminds me of the days like when Facebook was the number one thing used in divorces. You know, private messages and private conversations and private groups were brought into court. So if like a client sues you, you know, they could go, "Hey, they have one of those computers. Did they use the recall? Let's get the documents into the court case."
But
So
even then, Christine, I can see you're having a conversation on Facebook with somebody else that can be considered in a wild stretch of an imagination, a public sphere. But I'm talking about you're working on your client's work. You're not on social media. You're just you're just working in your living room, in your office, your private office, and you're working on your client's stuff. And somebody's looking over your shoulder. And
pretty much.
this is, I mean, and you're not in a public, there's no argument that you're in a public space whatsoever. You're in your private space.
Apparently, this is supposed to, they think it's supposed to be in advance of something that Apple's going to do. By the way, nobody from Apple's listening, but if you're listening, I will never buy a computer that has this feature on it. But I would have loved to be in the meetings. Like, how are you going to sell this to people? Like, really? Like, and the other thing I've seen on LinkedIn, because I follow a lot of the people in the AI field, machine learning field, they believe the on the edge thing gives them the opportunity to train on it as long as they don't store it. They're not technically breaking like the rules or law. So I don't know for sure that that's the case because I haven't read anything from the lawyers yet. But it does seem like a very if you could sell this to people, a massive way to get around the issues with data sets to train on. Because if you have,
You have
right?
everything because you have everything. Now you control the desktop, control the experience. It's been like this since 94, 95.
And so I think that I don't know, but I think we're going to find out. It has a lot related to training, not just training AI models on words. LLMs are just dumb text generators, right? And I mean, there's a pejorative. That's just what you say when it doesn't have any intelligence to it. It doesn't. But what if they train on people's everything people do all day, their emotions, their patterns, their like, oh my gosh, no, I don't want to be some lab experiment mouse for Microsoft. Like, yeah, it's gross.
Welcome to the New World Order. And you
Well, if
wonder,
we
and you
don't
wonder.
participate, if we don't buy those, then they go
Well,
away.
I mean, if PCs are doing it, and you're saying that Apples are also thinking of doing it in the news in the near future, I'm not sure if you wish to compute. If you'll have a lot of choices, like you build your own computer.
Well,
That's your
Linux is
choice.
still there. No, but Apple does do much better with privacy, so I have to imagine it wouldn't be like take screenshots all day of everything I do, so I can have an AI assistant that does what? I don't know. You know what? You know what I'm really mad about? I was promised cures for cancer and climate change, not constant
Well,
surveillance on a computer.
for I mean, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
There are teams in the medical field and environmentalists using AI for very good things or trying to and having grand successes doing it. But,
But they're not funded like this.
Christine, you have to, you're representative and I'm representative of a generation whose best minds did not go into public service, but went into finance and figuring out ways to create derivatives and split dollars into tiny micro fractions. That's what we did with our. So, I'm not I'm completely unsurprised that
My
there are
generation
people who are
above us.
doing.
But
Anyway, moving on,
anyway,
and I'm also completely unsurprised that trust in the people who are controlling artificial intelligence, especially people who control social media networks, is declining very, very rapidly. In fact, people's trust that social media might be giving them well stuff how to say this stuff that they can trust appears to be declining rapidly as AI is advancing.
Yeah, and this is the Axios Harris 100 that they do every year, a reputation score for companies. It says social media at the top, but they also did like include Google and Microsoft in there. But the highest rated, interestingly enough, and I think it's just because people just heard about it this year, is NVIDIA. So I'm sure it's just because nobody knew about NVIDIA. Then they almost ran out of chips and they almost had to stop. And now NVIDIA is in the news all the time. So NVIDIA. I'm sure nobody heard about it before that. Microsoft actually has a much better rating than OpenAI. They don't have Google on the actual chart here, but I know that they said that people were having trouble with Google as well. ByteDance is at the lowest, which is interesting because TikTok's higher than ByteDance, but they're kind of the same thing. I'm sorry, X is the lowest, then Meta, then ByteDance. Those are the three lowest. And then they have Gen Z doesn't trust social media at all anymore, although sadly, Gen Z is also the one most likely to be manipulated on social media. There's many studies that have talked about that. And 58% of respondents recognize the importance of integrating AI into products, but only 30% said they'd be more likely to buy a product or service because it had AI. And I think this reflects something important that someone was we were talking about on LinkedIn yesterday. You weren't in that conversation, but some of the AI people. And that is, what are they solving? Like, what are they giving us that we wanted? What did we need? They didn't ask any of us, right? They don't seem to have marketing departments. So they're just like creating things and like kind of throwing it at everybody. But they didn't ask us if we actually want it. Like, did you want a Microsoft computer that's going to take pictures of your stuff all day long for some AI agent you don't care about? No, you didn't ask for that. Nor did you need it. It's not like, Steve Jobs is like, you didn't know you wanted it, but we created this amazing thing and now you do. That's not what's going on here. It's just like they take the tech and they create something and they decide everyone's gonna want to use it or needs to use it, and therefore we'll find a way to kind of subtly make you use it.
In this, as I said
Odd.
earlier about Google, the consumer is the one who's going to dictate whether this works or not. Unfortunately, I don't think that that dictum applies here. Like you said, Christine, they're throwing it in whether you like it or not. It's becoming a component of something, whether you like it or not. Yeah, it's
It's just
dismaying to see the, I mean, the part of tech has always been disruption for the sake of disruption, but this is bigger than that, given the power AI has and the lack of control individuals seem to have around it. So yeah, it's
yeah.
lucky.
They're like,
Nicest thing to say.
it's like Sam Altman. You don't need universal basic income. You need universal compute power that I would give you. Like,
And then you can generate your own income. Indeed.
yeah,
Thank you, Sam.
exactly.
Okay, we gotta go out. And I don't want to go out on a negative note, because this has been a fairly negative, focused show, because let's face it, the stuff that we've been working on and love and it's been very important to the SEO community is jeopardized. So
Yeah, I actually got a sick feeling in my stomach when I saw Roger's article. So,
yeah.
yeah.
And again, with his article today, and these well-written and extremely well-researched pieces by somebody who has been around more than long enough to know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bad feeling in my stomach too. And when I was reading his, like I was saying to Roger, when I was reading his stuff, and when I've been, contemplating what the C levels at Google have been saying, I've been trying to circle the square on people like Gary's John Mueller, and Danny Sullivan and other Google spokespeople. They've been out there and we've been praising them in the last couple of years for how responsive and how open that they've been with the webmaster community. I think Roger's confirmed that. Because he talks to Danny on a daily basis, talks to John on a daily basis. He's confirmed that they're on the left side of the office and literally don't necessarily know the crap that the right side of the office is going to pull before stuff goes public. So earlier this week, John said on Twixter, Twitter. the application formerly known as Twitter, that there is recoverability from the impact of the HCU and of the most recent updates. And it's hard to explain, but the team is working on evaluating how sites can and will improve in search for the next update. And the best advice you could give was to create content and to write from the heart. You know, take helpfulness to heart. Yeah. And he meant it.
He did. And I know that he is not allowed to give us any information that he is not allowed to give. So I think John is doing his best to try to help us with the limited amount he's allowed to say.
Bloody hell, I'm not sure he was even told some of this stuff. Like, honestly, I don't know. Did you think he knew that AI was going to dominate everything?
I mean, with the helpful content update and from the heart, I think he's not allowed to give us details. Like, we know that Google turns all of this into math and processes. That's what an algorithm is. They know exactly, Google. I don't mean John and Danny, although they do talk to the search team. We had that confirmed this week. But they're not allowed to say things that, Google doesn't want them to say. So John can't say like, hey, we know that this is what we're measuring. So he's trying to find ways to tell us to be helpful himself with the limits of Google and what he's allowed to say to us. Well, that's how I perceive it.
I also think, and with good reason, he genuinely believes that this kind of work will improve your status on Google, in Google Organic, and I have to assume in Google's AI recommendations as well. Although he has never said anything explicit about that, and I really wish him and Danny would start addressing that from an organic point of view. Not that I think it's necessarily possible, but I really wish they'd start addressing it from an organic point of view.
We have a great study we'll cover next week about what SEOs are finding, at least. But yeah, you're right. They haven't been able to cover it.
Well, because I'm not sure that they can. That's the whole
thing. That's what I mean. They can't. Yeah. They
can. like not just even legally. I'm not sure they have a way of saying, here's some hard numbers around AI and how we produce this. I don't know if they have a way of doing that yet. It's maddening, Christine, I hope you join me in believing strongly that they believe what they're saying and they believe it from the heart, and they're trying to be helpful because they take helpfulness to heart.
Yes, because they're in a very difficult spot, right? Because they're trying to communicate to people, especially after these updates, just desperate people whose sites were annihilated, and they have to, Google doesn't just let them go out and say whatever they want, so they have to try to communicate to us what they can. Outside of what Google allows them to say and what they're even told. Like, there's probably a lot of things that are happening at the upper levels, like Roger talked about, that they're not communicated down level, because we know from people that have left recently that the culture has not been good between management and the people that do the hard work.
So John, when you're on video presenting to us next, blink in Morse code. They don't teach that at McKinsey. Blink and Morse code. We'll get it.
And from the heart, John and Danny and Gary, if you ever hear this, we do appreciate you and everything you do. We know how hard your job is.
Okay. On that, we've gone
from the heart.
From the heart. We've gone full circle on Webcology. Here on WMR.fm, this show recorded live to podcast on the 23rd of May, 2024. Special thanks to Roger Monty from Search Engine Journal coming in to talk about the what he sees as the new future of the SERPs. And again, special thanks to Audience Key, our sponsor. Special thanks to Ricky and Brasco in the studio, and Darren Brandy in the office. And special thanks to co-host Christine. On behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedgewood from Digital Always Media. Have a great week. Rank well, be kind to each other, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.